Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This day is a gift of God's compassion. We come to celebrate and to praise the giver. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us this morning, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending. We would love to meet you, those of us who are here regularly, so we'll seek you out to shake your hand, to introduce ourselves. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourself to us, because believe me, we love it that you're here, and we would be very pleased if you would make a home here with us. One way to do that is by being involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. A way to find out some of that is looking through your bulletin insert, and I have just a few announcements as well. First of all, our mission market happens in July. It will be on July 27th. Our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders worked very hard during Mission Week, exploring creativity and their imagination, and you will have the opportunity to purchase some of the results of that exploration and that creativity. There are birdhouses and piggy banks and stepping stones that will be available on July 27th, and the proceeds will go to support our Habitat for Humanity build and Tennessee Justice for Our Neighbors. So, look forward to the 27th, so you'll have an opportunity to do that. Also, our music camp, speaking of creativity, is coming up in just 1 week. It's open to children entering the 2nd through the 7th grade. There's still time to sign up. The presentation will be Sunday, July 27th, between services, in our newly renovated 4th floor theater. So I hope if your youngster hasn't registered that you will get them on the list. It's always a great fun time and engages the imagination while it teaches about faith. There will be auditions for lead roles today at 12:15 on the 4th floor in the theater. So if your youngster is looking for a lead role, have them be there at that time, but all the youngsters are invited to be a part of the entire cast. We could use more helpers with this as well. The week is July 21st through 27th, and if you would like to be a shepherd to some of our music campers, please contact Andrew Reisinger. Also, for the women of the congregation, our Connect and Share group will meet on July 22nd. They always have imaginative and creative things to do. If you're interested in more information, contact Nancy Hawthorne. And you probably saw as you came in the building that the Bloodmobile is here. We are receiving donations of blood to assist folks throughout this area. You don't have to have signed up. Walk-ins are welcome, and I'm sure you know as well as I do, the gift of blood is indeed the gift of life. So let me encourage you if you have an opportunity. I know for some of you, it'll be at some point in the sermon you will suddenly have this urge to go give blood. That's okay. I won't hold it against you. Okay? Just look around. Just listen. It's the heartbeat of God. We breathe in and breathe out the compassion that surrounds us everywhere we look.
for the voice of God comes near.
Listen, for God's voice is not the truth.
We come to worship the God who became one of us.
Who calls us by name, who is love incarnate.
Let us gather together in joy and hope.
Let us worship the God of love.
Jesus Christ identifies with us and offers us grace that the world cannot give to us. Everyone who calls on God, our Creator, for help will be made whole. Let us together seek the healing only God can provide by joining in our prayer of confession. Forgive us, O God, when we wish our brothers and sisters well, and yet withhold our much-needed help and support. When we loudly proclaim our faith, but then refuse to truly follow Christ's example, forgive us, O God. Through the power of your Spirit, make us people of courage, compassion, and integrity, through the grace of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are given new life. The old is gone away. The new is before us. We are free to live fully in the present. That is the good news that sets us free to love. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us up here, we would love to have you. Here come some more friends. Good. Excellent. Come on up and have a seat with us. Yeah, come on up here. Have a seat where I can see you, where you can hear. Come on up. Good. Several years ago, my little girls, who are not little girls anymore, they're all grown up, and I went to a place kind of far away. It's called Nicaragua. And we were helping to build a place at an elementary school for the students to eat. Now, in order for that to happen, we had to dig a big hole for them to pour the concrete in so that the building would stand up. So we were digging and digging and digging. We didn't finish one day, and so we would have to dig some more the next day. But in the night, a huge rainstorm passed through so that all that hole, that trench we were digging, was kind of muddy. In fact, it was very muddy. But we got in there, and we started digging again. And it was high enough that we would have to throw the mud up to get it out of the hole. Well, as we did this, we were pretty much covered from head to toe with mud, all of us. Now, there were folks who would walk along the edge of the hole, and some of them would say, "Good job, keep up the good work," which was very nice. Others would say, "You know, I think it's a little deeper over here than over there," which was helpful. But then there were those who said, I think you need some help. Let me get a shovel. I'll jump in the hole and dig with you. Now, those were really helpful. And the thing is, they weren't muddy when they jumped in the hole. They chose to get down in there and to dig with us and get covered with mud with us. Now, you just heard Sally read a portion of Scripture in which they said Jesus had compassion on the people. Well, the word compassion means to suffer with. It was like those people who jumped into the hole to help us dig out the mud. Now, it was nice and helpful for people to encourage us or people to help point out what we needed to do. But we really appreciated those people who jumped in the hole and were willing to get muddy with us. That's what Jesus did. He came to live among us and get muddy with us, to experience everything that we experience so he could have compassion, so he could show us God's love. So now, when I use that word compassion, which I will use a number of times in the sermon today, you'll know what it means. It means to suffer with someone or to jump in the hole and get muddy and help them out. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for getting muddy with us in the person of Jesus to experience all that we experience and through it all to show us your love. Help us to reach out to others in that same way, to show your love to all we meet, following the example that Jesus set for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Well, as we just shared with the children, the root meaning of the word compassion has nothing to do with a feeling. We think of compassion as being a feeling, maybe pitying someone, feeling for someone. And it might have a root there, but compassion is an action, to suffer with, to do something about the suffering around us. I think it's easy for us to talk about having compassion, maybe even to feel compassion. It's quite another thing to step out and walk next to someone who is suffering, perhaps from a disease, perhaps from being shut out or excluded by others, perhaps from grief, to walk with them. And even if we don't experience exactly what they experience, to imagine what it would be like to go through that, to identify with them. Now, this may be true of other churches as well as the United Methodist Church, but I've observed over the years that very often we think if we have met and talked about something, we've done it. You know, we've made a decision, that's it. We've signed a resolution, that's it. That's not it. That's not compassion until we take an action, until we do something. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. Did you hear what he was doing in that text? He was among the people who were hurting. He was teaching them. He was proclaiming the good news of God's love to them. And he was healing them of various diseases. There's another word for that. It comes from that period around when Jesus walked the earth, perhaps a little time afterwards. It was common among the rabbis and has come down to us as well. It's called tikkun olam. It means the repairing of the world. It means finding those places that are broken, those places that are hurting, those places that have been shut out, those people who've been shut out, and helping to mend the broken hearts, to mend the broken relationships, to say a word of kindness, or sometimes even better, to know when to shut up. I never learned that very well, but to know when to shut up and simply stand with someone in their grief, letting them know of God's love and of your love. What Jesus is doing throughout all of this in showing compassion is that repairing of the world that the rabbis talk about, that we are all called to. That's our job. And so compassion is an action more than it is a feeling. It's not a decision. It's following through on a decision. It's not simply feeling sorry or having pity for someone. It is choosing to walk with them so that they will know that they have a companion in their suffering. Those are very, very different things. Now, Jesus talks about the harvest, and often we in church tend to interpret the harvest as getting more people into church. And that's a good thing. I'm not opposed to getting more people into church, but that is not the deep meaning of the harvest. Sometimes we think of harvest as getting more money in the collection plate. And believe me, every church would love to have more money in the collection plate, but that is not the deep meaning of harvest. Jesus had compassion because he saw the people and he saw them hurting. He saw them like a sheep without a shepherd, as if no one cared about them, as if no one wanted them. The harvest is reaching out in God's love, in tikkun olam, in repairing the world, in mending the brokenhearted. Not just collecting more people in a particular place, but in spreading abroad that compassion that Jesus embodied, which we believe as Christians is the love of God. That kind of compassion. I know many of you can probably think of a time when you were walking through a difficulty and someone walked with you. Or, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, someone had the authority to speak to you because they had been through previously what you were going through now. They had suffered with you, although their suffering came before yours. They know what it's like. And you can probably name people who have done that for you. I'm going to lift up stories of three persons. Some you may know the names of, some you certainly will, some you may not. But for me, they provide examples of what Jesus was talking about and what Jesus did in addition to talking about it. When he saw the people like sheep without a shepherd, had pity on them, and then showed them compassion. This past week, our city and the world lost, in my opinion, one of its great citizens, John Siegenthaler. I had a chance to meet John Siegenthaler a few years ago, although his name has been a part of my life as long as I can remember. A few years ago, I had an opportunity to help out at the Blair School of Music with an event called Music from the Camps, or Songs from the Camps. These were songs that were written during the Holocaust in the various concentration camps. And there were readings in between the songs. The songs were performed by the students who were singing, and then various others of us were invited to do the readings. John Siegenthaler was one of those. I was fortunate enough to be one of those. And as we sat in the room together, I recognized that I was in the presence of greatness, not because he thought he was so great. He did not put that across at all to me. It was simply his person in what I perceived as a very down-to-earth fashion being present for those in the room. Now, you know his accomplishments. You'll be hearing more about those. The First Amendment Center, editorial work, but there's one thing that stands out for me, one event that I continue to carry with me. In 1961, John Siegenthaler was a young assistant to the Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, during the Freedom Rides. And he went on behalf of the Attorney General to see what was going on, Now, you know, he could have probably chosen to stay in his office and send somebody else, but he didn't. He went to Montgomery, Alabama, and when the Freedom Riders were dragged off the buses and beaten, he could have run for cover. He could have found safety, but instead he intervened and he was beaten very badly himself. That's compassion. That's what we're talking about. He could have sat at a safe distance and felt pity for them, but he stepped in and walked with them and suffered the consequences of walking with them. That, my friends, is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about compassion. Story number two, there was an up-and-coming, a rising star among German theologians in the 1930s. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He had served teaching positions in Germany until his opposition to the Nazi Party became well known, which kind of hindered his teaching career in that area. So he was invited to other places around the world to teach. In 1939, he was invited to teach at Union Theological Seminary in New York City, very prestigious seminary. He could have stayed there throughout the war years if he wanted to. He could have stayed there the rest of his life if he wanted to. Instead, he decided to return to Germany. And in explaining that to his colleagues, who did not understand why he was making such a foolish decision, he said, "I will have no place in the repairing of my country." He could have said the repairing of creation, "unless I walk through the trials and tribulations of my people." He went back to Germany, and though a confirmed pacifist, he entered into a plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler. Those involved in the plot were all arrested. They were all sent to concentration camps. He was moved from camp to camp until 2 weeks before the camp was liberated, he was hanged. There's no record of a trial, no record of charges beyond those original ones. But he returned and put his life on the line because he could not repair the world unless he had experienced the trials and tribulations of that world. That, my friends, is compassion. That's what Jesus is talking about. Finally, I know many of you have heard me mention a mentor and a colleague and a hero of mine named Ben Alexander. I met Ben Alexander in 1971. He is one of the most compassionate people I know, in the best sense of that word. Throughout the years, he ministered to churches in this conference, and toward the end of his time, he was a district superintendent and senior pastor at Hendersonville First United Methodist Church. Well, when I was assigned to Hendersonville, he was the pastor emeritus, had been for a number of years. And as I came on board, he took me aside and he said something to me. He said, "You know, I'm going to tell you exactly the same thing that I told Mike Ripsky, who was my immediate predecessor in that role." He said, "If I see you're going to step in a hole, I'll point it out to you." He said, "I know some of the pitfalls and some of the holes around here, and if I see you're going to step in one, I'll point it out to you. Now, if you choose to go ahead and jump in, I'll jump in after you." That's not what I expected. No, what I expected is what most of us would have said: "I'll point out the hole to you, but if you jump in, you're on your own." But you see, Ben Alexander had understudied the man who had shown God's compassion to the whole creation, Jesus. And he knew that compassion didn't stop with words, and it didn't stop at the edge of the hole. He was willing to jump in and get muddy with me if he needed to. Because you see, that is compassion. My prayer is that I learn from these examples so that when the time comes for me to show that compassion, I'll be prepared to do so. And my prayer is that you will learn from these examples. So when the time comes for you to show that compassion, you will be able to do so. Because you see, Jesus led the way for all of us. Thanks be to God. We celebrate our faith in many ways, and one is through statements of affirmation of faith and creeds. Would you stand with me, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and we will affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. We welcome you to worship on this joyous day. We're so glad that you're here. If you're a first-time visitor, we'd like to ask you to join us in Reed Hall for a time of fellowship and also to learn more about ways you can be involved here. We've had a combined Sunday morning class every week this summer, and that will continue for the next 3 weeks. So if you want to get to church a little bit early next week and come join us, we'd love to meet you and let you know some of our Sunday morning communities you can be involved in. You'll notice in front of you there's a pew card. It's gray. You can sign one side to give comments for staff and lay leadership. On the other side, you can put down a prayer request. And we will lift you up in prayer throughout the week. If you haven't signed the attendance pad, we'd love for you to do that. We want to know who's worshiping with us. You can also look to see who you're sitting next to and greet them after the service or right now. That would be okay, too. We want to extend our deepest sympathies to the family of Eugene Hyman Bowers, Jr. He died Saturday, July the 5th. Services were held here at West End on Tuesday, July the 8th. We also want to send our sympathies to the family of Catherine Hurst Anderson. She died Monday, July the 7th. Graveside services were held at Woodland on Saturday, July the 12th. Among her survivors is her daughter, a West End member, Pat Anderson. Let's prepare our hearts and minds and turn to prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we sit in quietness, our thoughts are far from quiet. We are wrestling with doubts and fears. We are looking for answers. We are hoping against hope. We are seeking strength. We are hungry for healed bodies, for rest from tears, for faith in times of doubt. Your word says the hungry will be filled. And we ask today for you to fill us. Fill us with the breath of life. Fill us with thankful hearts. Fill us with calmness, courage, and most of all with the knowledge of your presence. For those who are ill, we ask that you would surround them with your strong healing presence. Grant wisdom to those who need answers to difficult questions. Grant hope to those who despair, and friendship to those who feel lonely. We look to you, O God, to be present in our communities and in the world, to continue to show us how we can be part of your work in the world. Teach us how we can grow in faith and become more like Jesus. We also ask, O Lord, that you would bless the work of our hands, Bless all that we offer today and this week, not only in what we give with our money, but the offering of our time and our talents. And now we gather all our prayer, the spoken and the unspoken, and pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Generous God, you have already given us all that we need. Help us to trust your care, that we may share with others the abundance of your love and give our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Now I send you forth to practice compassion, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, whose compassion was shared fully in the person of Jesus, and whose compassion through the Holy Spirit empowers us to suffer with others, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.